Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Pastor just quoted a verse, and we'll see it again, okay? Stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight. I'm going to read the first eight chapters. Actually, the first nine chapters. No, I'm sorry. I really don't know what I'm going to do, okay? But whatever it is, let's do it, okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now think about that. Jesus began it. Now it's up to us to finish it. Now he did one thing that nobody could add anything to. He finished everything that needed to be done in order for mankind to be saved. But then the rest of the book of Acts tells how the early church began to finish what he had begun. And tonight you and I are finishing what he has begun. Notice it says, until the day which he was taken up after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore unto us the kingdom of heaven? You know what they were saying there? Hey, Lord, let's have a prophecy conference. Wilt thou restore at this time? Okay. And he said unto them, no, let's not have a prophecy conference. Let's have a missionary conference. And he said unto them, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, speak to our hearts tonight, and we will give you the honor and glory for all that you do through this service, or any time in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have a little clip that I want to show you. I believe the...
Who is that man?
He's our broker. He helps look after all our money.
Do you pay him?
Of course.
How much?
I don't know exactly.
What if you're not happy? Does he have to pay you back?
Nope.
Why not?
It doesn't work that way.
Why not?
That little boy was quite inquisitive, okay? Why? And why not? The message tonight will be just about as simple as it can possibly be, okay? Why or why not? After his death and resurrection, Jesus appeared time after time unto his disciples. He very plainly told them what he wanted them to do. We have his words recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the book of Acts. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Notice the very last words before he was taken up. Hear the words. Unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Wow. Unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then he was taken up. In the sixth chapter of Isaiah, we have this from the Old Testament. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then he said, here am I, send me. And God said, go and tell this people. God speaking to Isaiah. God speaking to the disciples. And by the way, God is still speaking to us tonight. God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his servants. He speaks to us through circumstances. God is still speaking. And if we are listening, then God will very plainly and very clearly tell us what he wants us to do. So let's be like the little boy tonight and ask why. Why? By the way, children love to ask why, amen? I mean, you know, you can tell them anything. Why? 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 I heard a story about a little boy was talking to his dad, and he said, Dad, if we had a jet plane, how long would it take to get to the moon? The dad said, I don't know, son. He said, hey, Dad, how many stars are there anyway? And the father said, I don't know, son. And he said several questions like that. Finally, the little boy said, Dad, does it bother you that I ask questions? And the dad said, no. How else would you know anything? Okay. So why? Why should I, as a member of Lancaster Baptist Church, take time this week to be in all of the services at the missionary conference that I can possibly be in? Why? Why should I, whom God has spoken to go to some foreign country or to go to some city and start a church or whatever it might be, why should I leave my home country? Why should I leave my family? Why should I go to a place that desperately needs me but don't really want me? Why? Why should I take money that I could use for many things and give to the work of God? Why? 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 Why should I be concerned about the eternal destiny of people that I don't even know? Why? So let's ask ourselves this question tonight. Why should I do those things? And by the way, the simplicity of world evangelization is simply every Christian going somewhere, whether it's next door or around the corner or thousands of miles away, and every Christian praying and every Christian giving. You can preach it any way you want to, but it's all about going and giving and praying so far. Why? Number one, we should go because of the plight of the unevangelized multitudes. There's 7.3 billion people on the face of the earth tonight. Conservatively speaking, two-thirds of them have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel message. And every one of those people will spend eternity somewhere. By the way, they're not all in Japan, Korea, and the Philippines, and Russia, and Afghanistan, and Iran, and so forth. No, many of them are right here in Antelope Valley. Brother Heller and I visited together yesterday, and We must have visited maybe 20 or 30 people and had the opportunity to present the gospel to them. We did not find one person that could say, oh, yes, I know for sure I'm saved and going to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm a Catholic. I'm this, I'm that. I've done something else. You know, I do it. Not a single one of them. Hey, by the way, we have a big job in Antelope Valley, amen? Why go out door knocking? And thank God for people that go out door knocking, amen. Many of you were saved because somebody knocked on your door one day. We had somebody, I forgot what country he's from one time, but he was visiting here, maybe in mission conference, but I was going out with him, and he said, now what is this door banging thing you're talking about, okay? But it didn't matter what you call it, door banging, door knocking, whatever you call it. Thank God we need to get the gospel out to everybody, amen. Why? Why? Think about it. Every second, nearly two people die. 107 people die every minute. Every hour, 6,390 people die. Since we started the service, more people have died than that's more than an hour ago. Every week, from this time last Sunday night till this time tonight, 1,071,000 people have died. Think about it. Every time you snap your fingers, somebody has died. In 1 year's time, there'll be 56 million people that will die. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. Why? People are dying. Many of them who have never one time heard the gospel message. Why should I go? Why should I pray? Why should I give? Because every one of them will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Think about it. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Being in torment, he seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Why should we go? Why should we pray? Why should we give? Because of the plight of the unevangelized. If we're not careful, we that have been saved a long time, we forget what it was like to be lost. But tonight I hope we will think of the lost multitude of the world. Why? Because of the plight of the unevangelized. Why? Because of the plea of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has spoken very clearly. All four of the gospel writers have recorded what he said. Luke in the book of Acts has recorded his words. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord has spoken very plainly, has he not? Matthew 23:27, we find these words. Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and listen to the statement, and ye would not. But the sad thing is, in 2014, after all of these years, there are still millions and millions and millions who have never one time heard the message, listened to the plea of our Lord. By the way, listen to his word. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why should I give? Why should I pray? Why should I go? We should go because of the passion of Jesus Christ. I love this verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The passion of Jesus Christ. He left heaven in all of its glory, came to this earth, lived as a servant, suffered and bled and died on Calvary. He who knew no sin became sin for me. He became my substitute. He paid my sin debt. Why should I go anywhere he wants me to go? Why should I do anything he wants me to do? Why should I be anything he wants me to be? Why should I give anything he wants me to give? Because of his great concern, his great passion for me. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Apostle Paul gives us the reason. Listen to it very plainly. For the love of Christ constraineth us. And from the time that the apostle got saved on the road to Damascus until they severed his head in a Roman prison, he had one passion, and that compelling passion was to make Jesus Christ known to the entire world. And in this verse, he tells us what motivated him, what pushed him, what kept him going. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And you could have said to Paul, oh, Paul, it's your love for Jesus Christ that compels you, that keeps you going. And he would immediately say, no, 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 I love the Lord, but my Lord is fickle in comparison to his love. It is not my love for him that keeps me going. It is the fact that he loves me that keeps me going. Now we should think of that. I've told this story before, but you've heard everything I've known several times, okay? But I'll never forget the first night Virginia told me she loved me. I went home that night, my head was swimming, I lay on the bed, and I thought, how in the world could somebody as beautiful and as wonderful as she is love somebody like me? By the way, she's had that same thought in these 62 years, okay? Many, many times, okay? But I thought so many times when Virginia said, Don, I love you, there were so many things about Don that Virginia didn't know. If we revealed everything, none of us would ever get married. Amen. But one day I realized the fact that Jesus loved me. And by the way, he knew everything I'd ever done and everything I would ever do, but he loved me anyway. Why? Because of the passion of Jesus Christ. Okay. But sad to say, and if we're not careful, as Brother Cantor so vividly illustrated tonight, if we're not careful, a lot of us will keep the boat tied to the dock. I wish that was not true. But knowing people, I know it is true. I mean, a lot of people will sit and listen and may even say to somebody, that was good, I'll enjoy that, so on and so forth. But they'll keep the boat tied to the dock. That was a great illustration, was it not? I mean, he preached my sermon, okay? If not, why not? We're not going to get totally involved in giving and totally involved in going and totally involved in praying about this matter of world evangelization, then let's ask ourselves the question, why not? Like the little boy, okay? Why not? Why not? Several reasons. And the big reason is pride. Pride. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if we're not careful, pride will keep us from going to the mission field. It may be nationalistic pride. And somehow, if we're not careful, we get the idea that a soul in America is more important than a soul in Afghanistan or Iran or any of the other places that we talk about this week, in Sri Lanka or in Africa or whatever it is. If we're not careful, we'll get that idea. But my dear friend, a soul in any of those countries is just as important to God as a soul right here in America. It could be racial pride. Maybe we would not go because of the race, the difference in the races. It may be domestic pride. I don't see how I could leave my family. I don't see how I could leave my country and so forth if we're not careful. If we're not careful, that thing called pride will keep us from going where God wants us to go and being what God wants us to be. I'm afraid I've met some people that have let pride stand in the way of them going where God wants them to go and being what God wants them to be and giving what God wants them to give. Pride. It may be selfishness. Pastor Baldwin read the sermon this morning. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. It may be that selfishness would keep me from giving all that I could for world evangelization. And by the way, I'm not even talking about tithing. You say you don't believe in tithing? Oh, yes, I believe in it. In fact, I am confident that every born-again child of God ought to give at least 10% of his income for the church and to the church. That's giving 101, amen? That's as elementary as it gets. I've often thought of this thing. I don't know where I heard it. Anything I heard, somebody's already said it, okay? But I love it. Tithing is a debt I owe. I mean, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Tithing is a debt I owe. Giving is a seed I sow. Okay? And we have the privilege of giving our tithe to the church, or in reality, paying our tithe to the church. And then we have the glorious privilege of giving above our tithe and offering for world evangelization. But if we're not careful, we'll get the idea, oh, but if I get too involved in this and if I give this much, then I can't have this or I can't have that and so forth. Selfishness may keep us from going to the mission field. Do they have Walmarts over there? Maybe not, okay. Do they have electricity? Hey, by the way, the rest of the world is not as bad as you think it is, okay? There is life beyond the borders of the United States of America, amen? And every one of these missionaries that are here tonight can testify to that fact. But if we're not careful, being selfish will keep us from going where God wants us to go. Being selfish with our time will keep us from praying as we ought to pray. I thought about this the other day. Our church, Lancaster Baptist Church, we support over 200 missionaries. Now, of course, all of you know, or most of you would know, that several missionaries are sent out by our church. We are their sending church. And we give significantly more to them than we do other missionaries. But the missionaries that are coming in, many of them this week, they're from other churches. They have their own sending church. And we support them for $100 a month. And listen to me, I think about it. Now, many of you, week after week or year after year, you take your faith promise commitment card, you take the card, you tell how much your tithe is going to be, then you put how much you're going to give to mission, And if you're not careful, many of you would say, okay, I'll put $5 a week, I'll put $10 a week. You know, you just do it without really thinking about it. Let me give you something to think about tonight. If you give $25 a week to missions, that would make it possible for Lancaster Baptist Church to take on another missionary. If you give $50 a week to missions, that would make it possible to take on two more missionaries. If we give $100 a week to mission, then that would mean four more missionaries. Or if you give $200, that would mean you, your family would be making it possible for the church to take on eight new missionaries. Wouldn't that be a great thing? By the way, a lot of you could do that. And a lot of you are putting in $5, $10 a week, and you could do a whole lot more than that. Well, why don't you? Is it because of pride? Is it because of selfishness? Luke chapter 14, verse 26 says this. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And if we're not careful, we'll let family members, and God forbid this would happen, but we will let family members keep us off of the mission field. Now, I don't have to explain to you tonight that when Jesus said, if any man hate not his mother and father, that it's not talking about the kind of hate we think about, okay? In other words, he's not saying you ought to hate your mother, you ought to hate your wife, you ought to hate your father, you ought to hate your brother. No. He said time after time after time after time, you ought to love them. We ought to love them. But here's what he is saying. Your love for me ought to be so great that your love for mother, father, mate, children ought to seem like hatred in comparison. How much do you love the Lord? You say, Brother Sisk, I could not stand to see my children go to the mission field. Aren't you glad God didn't think like that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If not, why not? Is it pride? Is it selfishness? Is it unconcern? In Lamentation, we read these words. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Think of the world we live in tonight. A world that desperately needs what you and I have. Can you imagine living and not knowing Jesus Christ? Now we have people here tonight, and we are facing every situation you could possibly face. Retardation in children, MD, Alzheimer's, financial difficulties, on and on and on. But regardless of all of those situations, we have a Savior that we can go to. Most of the world don't know him. They don't have anywhere to go. And listen to Jeremiah. Is it nothing to you? Can you just enjoy all of the good things that God has done for you and given to you and then not be concerned about the needs of others? God forbid that any of us would leave here tonight with an attitude of unconcern. It's not my business. Let somebody else do it. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. We have something that the world knows nothing about. We know somebody that most of the world does not know. Why? Why? Or why not? What are you tied to tonight? Isn't it about time, as Brother Tom said tonight, to cut the rope, get out into the sea? I think we at Lancaster Baptist Church are blessed indeed. We have a great pastor that is faithful, not just to give us what we want, but what we need. By the way, he does that because God has put him in the position. And one day, Pastor Chapel will have to give an account to the Lord for Lancaster Baptist Church. If you wonder why he says some of the things he says, if you wonder why he tells us some of the things that he tells us, that's the reason. One day, he'll stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for Lancaster Baptist Church. You say, how in the world do you get that, brother? Right from the Bible. Listen to it, Hebrews 13:17. Obey them which have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Thank you, Pastor, for preaching to us, not what we want, but what we need. By the way, this is a result of it, okay? Some pastors go around and they find out what the people want to hear, and that's what they tell. And they get nothing. Thank God for a man that stands week after week after week and preaches, thus saith the word of God. I will not have to give an account for Lancaster Baptist Church. Now, there are a lot of other things I'll have to give an account for, but I'll not have to give an account for Lancaster Baptist Church, and neither will any of you. However, every one of us will have a time when we must give an account for our going, our praying, and our giving. Listen to it. Romans 14:11-12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So every one of us must give an account of himself to God. Very simple. Every one of us. Again, in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Daniel Webster was asked, great intellectual giant, what is the greatest thought you've ever had in all of your life? And after thinking for just a minute, he said, the greatest thought I've ever had in all my life is this, that one day I'll stand before my Creator, Almighty God, and I'll give an account for all everything I've done in my life. And so will I. And so will you. And I don't know about you, but I sure love to hear Jesus say at that moment, well done, good and faithful servant. By the way, that would be worth anything he'd ever tell us to do. Any place he'd ever want us to go. Anything that he would ever want us to do. Just to hear our Savior, who loved us and gave his life for us, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Now, we can't all be everything, but thank God every one of us can be faithful. Why? Why leave home, go to a foreign country? Why try to learn another language? Why give sacrificially to the work of God? Why? Because of the plight of the unevangelized and the plea of the Lord Jesus Christ and the passion of our Lord.